For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the things that we're going to be thinking about this morning are the fruits of the Spirit, which comes from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask this morning that you would speak to us through your word and help us to be able to concentrate on a little bit of it through the rest of the week so that we can love you and demonstrate this to all that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Nick referred to us comparing our bodies to a house, and that when we hand over our life to Jesus, his name goes on the deeds, and he is then the owner of the house. So, there's a little cross there, and I'm going to put my keys at the foot of the cross. But the trouble is, we are human. We are sinners. We're not good all of the time. And so what happens is, when we feel like it, the I that we crossed out in our lives to remind us about Jesus doesn't always stay crossed out. So sometimes we take the keys back. So if I'm having a strop or throwing my dummies out of the pram, or if I choose to give in to temptation, then at that point we do not look like Jesus, do we? This verse explains that we die, that we are crucified with Christ, which suggests that this won't be easy, this is going to hurt. It's not a simple process to give our lives in surrender all of the time, which is why we do take the keys back. But this life we're living, we live by faith in Jesus. And although we cannot see him, we have chosen to forsake all and trust him. Why? Because God loves us and sent Jesus to die for us. He died for all, and nobody is excluded from that today. We can invite Jesus to come into us and to live in us. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter the colour of my skin. It doesn't matter whether I am male or female, a boy or a girl. Jesus Christ comes to live inside of us. So today we're going to think about some qualities that Jesus has known as the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to concentrate on those. So I'm going to put the car keys back and the house keys at the foot of the cross. And so we're going to try and leave them there. We've already mentioned the word love this morning. God loves us. And if we love him, then we invite him into our hearts because we love him. Love is a resolved commitment to do what is right and what is best for my neighbour, whatever the cost to me. It's about thinking about others and putting them before me. In John 13, verse 34, it says, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Ephesians 3 verse 18 says, "I pray that you might have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ. So let's have a little think this morning. Do I love other people? How do I demonstrate that love to others? Do I tell people that I love them? In the Radical Bible Study that we've been doing, this week we were challenged about how much love and compassion we have for those who do not know Jesus yet. When we read what love is in the Bible, Corinthians tells us that love is patient, it's long-suffering, it's forbearing. So, we'll have another little think now about ourselves and how patient am I, especially when I'm waiting in a queue. How about if I'm waiting for the computer to respond to me and it's just not happening? How about if I'm waiting for someone who I have an appointment with who is running late? How about when I'm in a rush and I'm having to wait for somebody else to get ready? These are just the little things that I thought of that I struggle with. But we all have different things that we're not very patient with. So for us to be patient, we need to practice it. We need to develop this fruit. We need to long for the best in others, back to love again, putting others before me, even those people who we don't like very much, the people that we struggle to love. I need to try to forget what Melissa wants, and to ask for God's help when struggling to be patient, when things aren't going our way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So when getting impatient, start to pray. Ask God to help you to love others and not to be angry. Be patient with God too. Sometimes we need to learn to be still and to sit and wait. Wait before God. Wait for things. Learning to wait before God to meet us and to speak to us. We're so used to rushing about, me especially, rushing from one thing to the next. But we do need to learn to be still and to be patient. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. And now we're going to think about kindness. Love is kind. God is kind to us. Romans 2 verse 4 says, Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness? Forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. So God's kindness makes a difference to us and to our lives. Now, if you think of the word ark, some people remember those letters reminding us of acts of random kindness that can show Jesus to other people. Little acts of kindness are important, and it can just be as small as a smile. As I was thinking about kindness this week, I was reminded of all the kind people that help me with my exercise classes. Some people do the register, some people collect the money, some carry my bags, some put equipment away for me. Some make drinks and some wash up. Now, people have just stepped into these roles. I haven't had to ask them. They've stepped in, they've got on with it without being asked, and they're showing real kindness to me and helping me with my work. So what do we do to show other people kindness? How joyful are we today? Joy is more than being happy. It's a fruit that grows deep down. Recently, we went on a staff retreat day, and Paul Swan was speaking to us about how to maintain and sustain our joy in ministry. And there's a couple of quotes. One's from Nicholas Amato, and he says, "The centre of who we are, that bubbles away below the surface, that's what joy is." And A. Rogers said, "It's a light that fills you with hope, faith and love." Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." God gives us joy and joyful things to do and experience. It's important to think about the things that make me feel joy, to be disciplined and to be kind to ourselves, to take time out from the busyness, to appreciate and experience joy. It might be a walk in the park, admiring God's creation. Again, the letters for joy could remind you of Jesus, others, and yourself. So we get a common theme reoccurring again and again. Now we're thinking about peace. Peace with God means that we can be peaceful within, not fearing when things go wrong. So Philippians 4 verse 8, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It is an incredible feeling when you are in a situation when all seems to be disastrous, and yet you feel within a deep peace from God. I have a friend who was explaining to me about her calling to be ordained as a priest. She said that whenever she prayed about it, she experienced a deep peace, and that to her confirmed her calling. We say, "Peace be with you," don't we, before communion. It's obviously important. Experiencing God's peace is awesome. John 14, he says, "I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Do not be scared. Trust that Jesus will look after us all of the time, no matter what we are fearful about." It is important to know that the Lord watches over us, protects us when we are awake or asleep. There is no time when God is off duty. He promises to be with us always, 24/7. He is there in all seasons of life, the hard ones and the happy ones. The Lord watches over our lives from the time of conception. "You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, and so we can know his peace." We're getting down the list, and so now we're on to goodness. Now, I think this is a hard word to understand, so I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says, "The state or quality of being good, having moral excellence and virtue, showing kindness, generosity, excellence of quality, the best part of anything, and strength." Now, if I say God is good, you say? So by demonstrating goodness, we are showing God to other people. Romans 15 verse 14, Paul says, "I myself am convinced that my brothers and sisters, you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another." faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful to him and to his teaching and to the church, his people. Now, to be faithful can mean that we're steadfast in affection or allegiance, that we can be loyal, a faithful friend. We can be good in our promises and say faithful promises which are binding. We can be conscientious and promise to obey our duties. This morning we need to be faithful to one, to have no other idols, to be faithful unto death. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on, so that we can hear God say one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Gentleness. Gentleness is mildness of manners or disposition. Philippians 4, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Colossians 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." We have been talking again in our radical studies about sharing our faith, thinking about the urgency that there is to do this. Peter says, "In your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And finally, we're on self-control. So this is important, to keep a check on ourselves and our sinful nature. Learning to control our behaviour. It's important as we grow up. Say no to the naughty things that we might be tempted to do, and say yes to Jesus, asking him to help us to demonstrate all of these fruits which we've thought about this morning. Sometimes journaling can help. If you're having a really bad day and you're really struggling, just writing things down can help us to see more clearly what's going on in our lives, things that we're struggling with. It's also good to have a friend to pray with and to be accountable to, so you can share the things you're struggling with and pray about them. It's sometimes good to talk to maybe your youth worker or children's worker or your vicar if you feel like things are getting out of hand and you're getting into areas that you can't control. So there's a lot to think about this morning, but I would try and encourage us all through the week to have that image of leaving our keys at the foot of the cross. And when God starts speaking to us about when we start to go off track, that we have that picture in our minds and put the keys back and ask God to help us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so let us have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, help us to show others these fruits. In Jesus' name, amen.